broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It doesn't matter.
Are you sorry?
No.
What? A plain reading of Article 1, Section 8.
My name is Roger Ebert. I love the Phil Hendry Show.
Epic fail.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast. That's right. And 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And welcome to our broadcast tonight. Those of you who joined us this afternoon at philhendryshow.com for Hendry, Emotionally Fragile, our after-school special. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for joining us for our video cast tonight at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Right now we have our Phil TV and HD up and running and beautiful, and also on the screen next to me, the split screen, is Libya. The airstrikes going on, and new reports of airstrikes in Libya, and Anderson Cooper, who is not in Libya, which is probably a good idea, but nonetheless, he is talking about it. And tonight we have coming up Bill Dutton, who is a member of the music business, the music industry for a long time, a record producer and engineer. He's going to talk about Chris Brown, a young man who threw a chair through a window at Good Morning America this morning, who has been accused of and convicted of a form of battery against his then-girlfriend, popular singer Rihanna, and who ain't doing too good, and the music business ain't doing too good.
Yeah, that's the bigger issue.
That's the big issue, exactly. Also tonight, Kurt Queedy and Guy Bi almost was stuttering over their names.
Well, their name, Kurt Queedy.
I was going, Kurt. Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton tonight from the West Virginia State Senate. And this is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, radio for patriots by patriots. This is right-wing radio. We make no bones about it. That's exactly where we come from. We're not embarrassed about where we come from. A lot of people say, oh, I don't want to tell you where I'm from because I don't want you to know my roots. You know my roots. Right wing. And I don't mean that in any extreme sense. We're not talking about far right. What we're talking about here, in my opinion, is the right way, the right wing. And we're talking about a not returning to anything, an evolution to a higher level for this country, and that is utilizing the individual and government in concert as a support. 877-876-PHIL, and tonight in our affiliate spotlight, we've got WTKK 96.9 FM in Boston and Colorado Springs, 4Ks, 1580 AM, KKKK in Colorado Springs, Colorado. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. So Bill Dutton joining us here from Los Angeles tonight. And we thank you very much, Bill, for making time.
It's very, very, very exciting for me, Phil, and thanks for having me on.
Bill, you have been in the recording industry since when?
In 1965.
And who were you working for then?
Phil, I came in with Herb Alpert, who had started A&M Records, and we worked on Highland and Hollywood just below Sunset Boulevard at the A&M building.
And you were privy to lots and lots of bands and lots of amazing times, weren't you?
Oh, Phil, back then, the music business was ever-changing, and it was always getting better, and it seemed like every day there was some new group, a new song, there was something new happening in the music business, and it was a tremendous time to be on the board for a lot of these bands, and we had a great mentor in Herb Alpert. We had such great artists that came through, and
who were some of the ones you worked with? Do you remember?
Oh, sure. Lee Michaels. We worked a lot of rock and roll at that time, rock bands. Lee Michaels was one. Leaves was another. We worked with the Byrds. Worked with Loggins and Messina. And then Doobie Brothers briefly. Did a session with the Beach Boys.
Wow. Yeah. The reason why I want to talk with you, Bill, is about Chris Brown. This is a young man, a young artist who wound up smashing windows this morning at Good Morning America after the interviewer brought up Rihanna, who is a girlfriend, or a former girlfriend, I should say. Now, the news story says that Chris Brown flew into a rage after the interviewer, Robin Robbins, brought up Rihanna. Let's listen to just a little bit of this audio so we can get some kind of an idea as to what it was that set this kid off. Chris Brown talking on Good Morning America this morning, and Robin Roberts asked him for an update on his relationship with Rihanna?
I mean, not really. I mean, it's not really a big deal to me now as far as that situation. Mm-hmm. I think I'm past that in my life, and I think today is the album day, so that's what I'm focused on. So everybody go get that album.
That is something that we are here to talk about, but thank you very much for willing to do that.
Roberts again broaches the subject of Rihanna, and Brown again focuses on the album.
But you can understand how some people, you know, that was very serious. What you went through and what happened and what even the judge though afterwards said that you had served your time as far as the community service and that and move it on. But how have you been able to
I've been focusing on his album, you know. I think this album is what, you know, I want people to hear and want people to really get into. So definitely this album is what I want them to talk about and not the stuff that happened 2 years ago.
I understand that. And thank you for allowing me to go back that way, because there have been a lot of people that were tweeting about it.
Now, as soon as he got off the set there with Robin Roberts and went back to his dressing room, apparently he flew into a rage and started throwing chairs through windows. You could even see the busted windows, Bill. And the kid was upset. Now, you've worked with artists, and you've worked with some pretty famous ones, and you've worked with some that are less famous. What is it with this kid, and what is it with the fits of violence? You know, it's one thing to be angry. It's another thing to start destroying private property. Have you ever seen anything like this? Did you see this, I guess, back in your day as well?
Well, Phil, I don't think that Chris Brown in that situation was in the wrong, because the music business is not doing well.
And you don't think he was in the wrong?
No, I don't. And I'll tell you why. The music business is not doing well. And the interviewers and the media, with a young man like Chris Brown, they know he's been in trouble. They want to pile on a little bit. They want to ask him questions that are embarrassing. They want to get him angry.
And now, you know what he was accused of? He was accused of battery. He was accused of punching his girlfriend and pushing her out of a car.
I know what he was accused of. And I've been around that kind of behavior. I'm not excusing it. But the point is, the music business has been deserted by people, the fans that would regularly go to the record store or go to even online have deserted the music business. They're not buying the records they used to, not buying the albums they used to, not supporting the bands that they used to. And everyone feels a little bit betrayed. And the question is, we're still providing, I say, I've been retired for a good 10 years, but I still consider myself a part of the industry.
Of course.
But we're still providing people with this magic and this great music, and suddenly people have decided to turn their back on us. And so I think what happened with Chris is he just was reflecting that.
Reflecting frustration with the business that people are betraying artists?
Yes, I think so.
You don't think he was embarrassed that she was asking him a question about a girlfriend that he had beat up and he didn't want to talk about it?
Yeah, you see, he's trying to sell a record, and what she's doing is bringing up an embarrassing event in his life that doesn't need to be spoken of. He's gone through it; it's been adjudicated, and all she's trying to do is embarrass him. I see what you're trying to say.
What I'm telling you is that the kid was asked serious questions here about an incident having to do with his personal behavior, his violent behavior toward a girlfriend. And this is absolutely a part of, as she said, the interest of people who are fans and even non-fans. This is part of the public discussion. Why shouldn't he have to answer those questions?
Well, because they're not, because the questions are asked to, in my opinion, a lot of people, the questions are asked to further debilitate the music industry. I don't think Ms. Roberts was all that interested in Chris Brown. I think what she's interested in is making it harder and harder and harder for Chris Brown to do his job, making it harder and harder and harder for the music business.
And she's interested in running the music business down.
I think so, yes. I think that's what the media's been doing, and I think that they've been succeeding in encouraging people to bootleg as opposed to buying records outright and encouraging people to judge Chris Brown or anybody else in the business, their behavior, judging the morality of it. Chris Brown has been called everything from a thug to a criminal.
He beat up a girl, beat up his girlfriend, beat up a woman, pushed her out of a car.
I understand that, but to call a man a thug, to call him a criminal, to call him a and the other thing is, I'm white and so are you. But this was a black woman asking a black man that question. And
what is that? What does that mean? A black woman asking a black man a question?
I think it's going to upset him. It's going to humiliate him. A patriarchal world that young black men come from, where their mothers are very strong, it's going to embarrass him. So I think that what happened to him this morning is what's happened to the music industry. People have turned their back on it. They're showing a great deal of disloyalty. They're showing a great deal of insult. Chris Brown was not respected this morning on that program. He was insulted by that woman.
So he's insulted. So this guy who was involved and has been involved in very violent behavior, including today throwing a chair and breaking private property over there at ABC.
You know, they're going to live. I don't think ABC is going to... in any way...
ABC will live, Bill, but the fact is his behavior, as well as just not only today, but his behavior in that car with that young lady, bespeaks a violent personality, one that people want to talk about, and I think with good reason, because we tend to put these people on a pedestal, you know.
Well, but you're not putting him on a pedestal. I'm not putting him on a pedestal.
No, but there's other people that do, young people who want to, quote, be him or have his life or something else. But let me give our number out. It's 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And I guess the question is, Chris Brown, does he have a right to his anger given the fact that the fans and the media and everybody has turned their back on the music business in general? Why are there not other artists doing the same thing?
Well, I think you're seeing it. You're seeing Natalie Maines of the Dixie Chicks, who was assaulting. She's frustrated, and when I say assaulting, I think rightfully so. When she made her comments about George Bush during the Iraq War, I think that was frustration at not being able to take a look at a music page from one day to the next and see that her music is selling. You know, this is a very tough time, Phil, economically.
Well, yeah, it is a tough time.
And because of the tough time...
No, but Natalie Maine making fun of George Bush during the Iraq War, that was a long time ago.
Well, that was the beginning stages, I think, of this frustration. That's what I mean. You've got a bunch of artists that are working very hard, and a lot of them are just not making the money they used to because, again, they have had people turn their backs on them, and they have had people... call them thugs. And
is he not a thug?
You're talking about Chris Brown.
Chris Brown, is he not a thug when you put your hands on a woman, when you beat her up, when you blacken her eyes? I mean, you saw I don't know if you saw the police photos.
Yeah, I saw them.
What did you think of the police photos?
Of Rihanna?
Yeah.
I don't think she looked any different than I don't think she looked any different than the average. Forgive me, but my wife looked like that. On a couple of nights,
you used to put your hands on your wife that way.
I'm not here to talk about myself, Bill. I just want to say, my wife looked like that on a couple of Monday nights, a couple of Monday mornings. I mean, and
are you still married to her?
No, I'm not. No, and I guess with good reason. But I don't.
You don't think that what you did was unusual?
I'm not here to talk about me. You asked me about Rihanna and the photograph of her, and I'm telling you that I don't think she looked all that different from the average woman that certainly that I knew. And
so you're telling me the average woman that you knew.
I'm not here to talk about myself, Bill, but I brought myself up as an example. Chris Brown is an artist who has made a lot of money, and now he's doing the same great music, and the music fans are turning their back on him because a photo of Rihanna was published, and she didn't look any different, as I said, than a lot of women look on a Monday morning.
All right, Bill Dutton, who is not only an engineer and producer long standing, he's a guy of long standing. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And we're talking here about Chris Brown, who Bill says has every right to his anger, beating up Rihanna, throwing chairs through windows, etc., because the music business is doing poorly. He's not making as much money as he used to. In fact, the entire music business isn't making the kind of money that it used to. And why is that? Because the music fan has turned his and her back on the artists. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Coming up next hour is Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton from the West Virginia State Senate.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. These are the boots of regular Americans, Americans marching toward the future and holding on their shoulders. Radio for Patriots, by Patriots, the Phil Hendry Show. Our number 877-876-PHIL. It's 877-876-7445. On the line with me from Los Angeles is Bill Dutton, a longtime record producer. We're talking about Chris Brown, who threw basically trashed a dressing room this morning at Good Morning America. And let's talk about the music world that you say, Bill, has been abandoned by the fans. Is Chris Brown a role model?
Well, I think that's a loaded question, Bill. I think you know it's a loaded question. Chris Brown is a role model for me, and I'm a good deal older than him, but I admire his climb to success. And
but is he a role model to young people?
I think he is. I think Chris Brown's stick-to-itiveness, his energy, his desire to make a career for himself and be successful.
And what about the way he treats women? What about the way he handles his emotions?
Well, you're asking me a lot of questions. I don't think you're letting me finish answer. I said I think that he is would provide a young lady with a great living and a great husband and makes enough money to provide any woman with everything she could ever want. I think that having a Chris Brown as a husband is a dream come true.
And even though the guy is smacking women around and pushing them out of cars?
Well, what women? I know of one woman.
You know what I'm talking about, Bill. Here's a guy, you know, when we talk about role models for our kids, and it's something that's very important to me and very important to a lot of parents, and I'm not presuming to tell a man how to live his life, but if a young man is selling music to young people, the least he can do is conduct himself publicly in a manner that is law-abiding.
What has he done that was illegal? I understand that he did have he put his hands on Rihanna, but like I said, and I'm not proud of it, but she didn't look any different than any wife or girlfriend of mine on a Monday, and I'm not proud of that at all.
Boy, you come right out and admit not just one wife, but two wives and girlfriends.
It is the rock and roll lifestyle, Phil. It is not
the rock and roll lifestyle is to beat women up so that on a Monday morning they look like Rihanna.
No, I didn't.
That's exactly what you said, and that's why I asked you about role models. 877-876-7445. Listening to us in Fresno is Jenny. Hi, Jenny. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Bill Dutton. Go ahead, please.
I cannot believe that you think that it is okay for a man to put his hands on a woman ever. There is never an excuse.
I didn't say that, young lady. I said that she didn't look much different.
You said that you used to beat your wife and that it's okay for Chris Brown to do it. And boo-hoo
no.
him that... Oh, now people don't like him because of that.
No, I didn't say that. I said that she didn't look any different than a couple of my wives and girlfriends on a Monday. I didn't say that was a good thing. But I said
but you're condoning
a lot of
it. You're
no,
condoning
I'm not condoning it.
Well, yeah, you're condoning it because you're saying... Yeah, you're condoning it because you're saying that Chris Brown, well, you know, let's bygones be bygones. The young man works really hard, and you even said he made a living that any young lady would want to be the beneficiary of.
Well, I have a young lady on the phone right now, Jenny. Wouldn't you want a husband that can earn the way Chris Brown can earn?
No, I have divorced two husbands because I will never let a man put his hands on me. I don't think so.
The kind of money that Chris Brown makes, you wouldn't
want that
to be... It
doesn't matter the money. It doesn't matter. No, my life does not matter to money. If a man beats you, he will eventually kill you. I can't
say
that it's okay.
No, I didn't say it's all right. I didn't kill my wives, and I didn't kill any girlfriends. I was a young man in the rock and roll business.
And they divorced you.
That may well be. I'm not denying that. But I'm saying I was a young man in the rock and roll business, and these young women wanted a piece of that. They wanted to hang around with the stars. They wanted to go to these parties. And they did.
So are you saying that she asked for you to meet her?
And so as a price, is this the price that these women paid hanging around with you, Bill, that they got to go to these parties and they got to see these artists, and then on a Monday morning they wake up and they're looking at a face like Rihanna's?
It's very difficult, Bill, for people to understand. The short answer is yes, but there's a longer answer.
And there's a longer answer, but the short answer is yes.
There is a longer.
All right, hold on. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Next hour, it is Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton from the West Virginia State Senate here on Radio 4 Patriots by Patriots. Don't forget, we are online right now at philhendryshow.com, our live video cast, Phil TV in HD, high definition, live streaming, video streaming of our radio show. Probably the most interesting radio show to watch in the world. 877-876-PHIL. With me is Bill Dutton. He is a radio record producer, long time, retired now. We're talking about Chris Brown. I asked you about role models. And I want to ask you now about celebrities with family values. You know, celebrities that we would be proud to tell our kids to support. You think Chris Brown is one of those?
Well, I just got done telling you, Phil, that I think Chris Brown would he makes a living. That woman I spoke with before you took your break, I said to her that Chris Brown makes a very good living. What woman wouldn't want to come home to a man or have a man come home to her that makes the living that Chris Brown makes? And this is the part, I think, that's...
Come home to her and then beat her up.
He beat up a woman in a car and pushed her out into traffic, which was an ill-advised and criminal act, and I don't condone it at all. And that was not under their roof. That was out in full view of the public. I think you can make the argument that he wasn't hiding it, that he, in point of fact, wanted people to see
it. Oh, come on. You giving this guy credit now for beating a woman up in public? You got to be kidding me. I'm asking you, Bill.
No, I'm not kidding you, Phil. You let me finish answering the question.
Let me ask you. I want to ask you one more time. Role models, celebrities with family values. Let me talk to you about, for instance, even though his kids are one of his kids is nuts. You know, I saw a thing about Martin Sheen, the actor, who had four children, who was always home with the kids. He and his wife stayed home, even though she was an accomplished artist on an actor's salary in New York in the 60s. Wasn't making anything, kept the family together, brought the family to California. Yeah, he's got a kid that's got a problem, but is a good, a good family man. You know, in other words, what I'm saying...
Well, you brought up the wrong guy, Martin Sheen. Boy, I can't believe you even did that.
I brought up Martin Sheen for a reason. Not every kid is going to be stellar, but I'm saying family values in that you stand there as a responsible parent. And I don't even agree with the guy's politics. That's got nothing to do with it.
You brought up the wrong guy there, Martin Sheen. And let's talk about, for a minute, Charlie Sheen, okay? And let's talk about the role model that he is. He is a coke addict. He is a drug addict. He beats women. He does, and he's got 2 million followers on Twitter. So don't tell me about role models, and don't tell me about...
Well, it was Chris Brown, though, that busted up a set, busted up the dressing room this morning on Good Morning America. Charlie Sheen has been on I don't know how many TV shows. He ain't busted up anybody's set yet. Let's go over to Heather in Anchorage, Alaska, listening on KFQD. Hello, Heather. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello.
Hi.
Chris Brown is a role model, your other guy saying. He should not be a role model for anybody. You know, our role models are things that we want our children to look up to, and Chris Brown throwing a temper tantrum and breaking things, beating Rihanna, that's not stuff that I would want my children to look up to people like that.
What about Charlie Sheen, though? What about Charlie Sheen?
Charlie Sheen?
He has 2 million followers on Twitter. He has a TV show. He has...
People...
Yes, Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, you know, and people watch Charlie Sheen just to laugh at how crazy he is.
They're going to watch his, I think he has a play, Phil.
We're not talking about Charlie Sheen. I just got done telling you the violence toward the women. And I know that Charlie Sheen has been accused of and has gone to, you know, has gone into custody for violence toward women. There's no question about that. We're talking about Chris Brown now because...
Because he's black, that's why.
No, not because he's black.
That's because exactly of his actions. Why. It's because of his actions.
No.
It has no... It does not matter what color you are. It's because of his actions.
What about Charlie Sheen's actions? And yet people reward him with tiger blood, with, what do you call it?
Tiger blood? That's what he says.
He's got that play that he's doing.
He's doing a comedy tour. But I'm talking about Chris Brown, who took a chair and smashed up today because somebody brought something up that he didn't like, violently smashed up a studio.
And by the way, Phil, Chris Brown is a man who has given money to charity.
What charities?
I don't know, you know, but I'm guessing that he has. And
you're guessing? You don't know that he's given money to charity? No. And let me tell you something else about Charlie Sheen. I haven't seen any photographs of any of his wives or girlfriends having been beat to crap. There may be some out there, but I sure as heck haven't seen them. I know that he's had his hands around some throats.
Well, he threatened to decapitate a woman. What do you think about that, Heather? About a guy saying that he wants to cut your head off and stick it on a signpost.
You wouldn't be a fan. He wouldn't be a fan of mine. Just like he's not a type of role model. Neither one of those guys are role models. And you try to bring up you're trying to defend one person by bringing up somebody worse.
Yeah, exactly.
Who's a role model to you? Yes.
My neighbors, my military neighbors, the guys that go out for years on end, not seeing their family fighting the war.
What if one of them said he wanted to put your head?
Oh, come on. What if one of them? What if you said that?
Okay, no, wait, hold on. I can answer this question. If one of them said that, they would be arrested, they would get kicked out of the military, and they would go to jail. We don't put up with stuff like that.
Would they be a role model for you?
What do you think, man? What do you think?
Well, if they're in combat, I'm assuming that they have the instinct to want to take someone's head and stick it on a sprinkler or...
No, they don't.
No, they're not criminals, man.
They served.
Right, these are American soldiers. They're not war criminals.
Your friend's obviously demented.
Thank you very much, Heather, for your call. Our number 877-876-PHIL. These are why would you say that about soldiers?
Well, Bill, you know George Bush and his wars his war on terror.
No. Why are you saying that about American soldiers?
I think you know why. Because American soldiers are just one step away from a charnel house of slaughter. Now, I'm not saying that the American soldiers do that. I think American soldiers are good men, but they could be pushed at any moment to an act that would make H.P. Lovecraft vomit. They could be pushed at any moment to an act that would make Ed Gein stay awake for years. And never want to go downstairs without a light being turned on, and his mummified mother with him. So I'm not exactly clear as to what it is you're trying to say.
I'm saying to you that the American soldier is not a war criminal as much as you and other people would like to paint them as such.
No, I don't want to do that, Phil.
Well, you intimating about how they, that Chris Brown's nothing compared to an American soldier or Charlie Sheen. Here's Sylvia in San Antonio, Texas, here on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Sylvia.
Yeah, let me tell you something, Mr. Phil. I have no respect for you. I have an ex that he's now my ex that abused me to no end. But let me tell you,
wait a minute. I'm Phil. You're talking to, you mean Bill? You're talking to Bill, right?
Right.
You're talking to Bill?
She was talking to you, Bill.
No, she's talking to you, Bill.
Right. I don't consider Martin Sheen, Charlie Sheen, or any of the Bob or Chris Brown the role model. I tell both of my sons
to look in our
lives, in our family, and other people like coaches and teachers and stuff like that as role models, not people out there that's in the
Charlie Sheen was crazy, worse, and he's white.
Why do you guys on the left always got to bring race into it?
What do you mean?
Oh, you're bringing up the fact that Chris Brown is being targeted because he's black and Charlie Sheen's getting a pass. Charlie Sheen, my God, people are doing nothing but making fun of that guy. People are questioning his sanity. People are saying he ought to be in a rubber room.
Yeah, but they're not saying that there, no one has said that Charlie Sheen's not a role model.
I'm saying it right now. There, are you happy?
Charlie
Go ahead,
Sheen
Sylvia.
And Martin Sheen's Charlie Sheen and Martin Sheen's not a role model. Martin Sheen has an illegitimate child too.
Martin Sheen had a heart attack in the middle of Apocalypse Now. Do you not respect that?
What's the respect? He had a heart attack. So what?
He had a heart attack. So what? Well, I got to remember that, Phil, when I clutch my chest and fall to the street. If you're around, I really honestly do. I really honestly do. And I'm shocked that Martin Sheen's a Catholic. You understand that, ma'am? A Catholic. And as a Catholic, he believes in a guardian angel. And he believes in the sanctity of the saints. He believes in Jesus Christ and the Virgin Mary. These are things that are family values. And
what are you talking about? You're not talking about anything substantial. You're blathering on about Martin Sheen. Chris Brown beat a woman up. You said that woman in that photograph didn't look any worse than any one of your wives or girlfriends. You said that.
Yes, at a certain point in my life, Bill. Absolutely.
That's
all right,
sad.
Thank you very much.
What's that?
You've heard what she said.
That he's putting out there that he's got ex-wives and ex-girlfriends that are like that. You know,
I'm not proud of that.
I'm not proud of that. I wouldn't air my dirty laundry out there, one. But I'll tell you one thing. I sure would be going back and apologizing to them. And I don't care how much money you make. You put your hands on another person, and you're wrong. You need to be behind bars because you have no right to demean us, to any female out there.
But I was making good money at the time. I was making very good money at the time.
Who cares how much money you were making?
I was making $6.
I don't care if you had
tickets.
I don't care if Bill Gates.
I want to hear you say it to my face. Chris Brown coming home with the cheese that he'd come home with, you wouldn't want to be married to that?
No, I would not. Not for me, billions of dollars. No, I would not. I have a girlfriend that was married to billions of dollars. She got a divorce because he was not physically touching her, but mentally abusing her. Yeah.
Lies.
Oh, no. Just because somebody doesn't agree with you, man, you don't say they're lying. Sylvia, thank you very much for your very candid answers. Our number 877-876-PHIL. And we are here with Bill Dutton. An enraged Chris Brown smashed a window after Good Morning America, a Good Morning America interview brought up Rihanna, the girl that he was arrested for domestic violence against, a young lady whose picture was widely circulated on the internet with bruises and scars and everything else. And Bill, you've been around artists, I understand that, and I haven't been in the music business, but I've loved the music my whole life, but I don't understand why. You started this entire thing saying that the music business is doing so poorly, so Chris Brown has got these pressures and we need to understand them.
I don't understand why that's a difficult thing to fathom. If you look at the music business today, the fans have turned their backs on the musicians. Would you like the average fan to look the way Rihanna did? Of course you wouldn't. If it was in the power of Chris Brown, or if it were in my power. And it wasn't against the law, and people wouldn't get hurt. I mean, wouldn't you rather have a fan look like that than Rihanna? Because that's who's doing it to the musicians, the fans. And
what are they doing to them? Not buying their music? Not buying their lousy music? Not buying their overpriced music?
Oh boy, you're really out of it. You don't get it, do you?
No, I get it. I get it better than you do. Their music is overpriced. It's not bad, but it ain't worth $20 a CD, $18 a CD, or whatever it is. You drop it down to $4, $5, $6, okay?
And you drop it down to $4, $5, or $6, and how do you think Chris Brown is living now? All right? And what is he supposed to do with the rage he feels toward a fan base that has deserted him to get his dinner and his lunch and his breakfast out of a dumpster? I'd like those answers.
Oh, boy. You know, I don't get it. You don't get it. You don't get it. Radio for Patriots by Patriots will be right back with Bill Dutton. Record producer says Chris Brown is under a lot of pressure. All these artists are under a lot of pressure as the fan base has deserted them, as the music, as the money gets worse and worse. So naturally, he gets pissed off when someone brings up Rihanna. 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we're in HD on PhilHenryShow.com.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
You don't get it.
Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we're talking here with Bill Dutton, a former record producer and engineer, about Chris Brown's violent outburst on Good Morning America, the state of the music business. And you really are hitting that one, Bill, of all of the stuff you've said on the during this hour that I take great exception to. This idea that the music business is doing so badly that Chris Brown is under so much pressure, he's going to lash out. I just find that to be the most unseemly thing.
Well, I don't know what you mean by unseemly. Are you saying to me that Chris Brown is...
What I mean by unseemly is I wouldn't expect that coming from a professional.
But if you're saying to me that I'm supposed to laugh and kick my heels with joy because a great industry, the music industry, is being destroyed by a fan base, by record consumers, by music consumers, who this generation of consumers are so narcissistic and into themselves and into theft and stealing, much of what they do, they steal. I don't know if you're aware of that or your listeners are, Mr. Hendry.
Yeah, we're aware of it.
All right, so a lot of them steal, and they steal on a regular basis. If you were being stolen from on a regular basis, as Chris Brown is, I think throwing a chair through a window or even leaving a woman's face looking the way Rihanna's did on a Monday morning, and I told you that I'm not proud of it and I wished I'd never done it, but if the worst thing I ever did in my life was leave a woman looking like that on a Monday morning, even though... she basically has the keys to the kingdom. She's got a gold card and a Porsche and
okay, all right. Well, I've already heard about the money thing and the fact that a woman ought to be able to take a beating for all that money. And we've been talking here on this show about role models and about artists that young people can look up to. You haven't given me one solid bit of evidence that exists with this guy or anybody that you knew. Here is Darren in Memphis on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
A lot of people that are good people.
Right, well, you've been bringing yourself up and bringing up Chris Brown. Go ahead, sir.
Exactly. You know, it sounds like, Bill, I could be wrong, but it sounds like you're trying to come out of retirement and put a bid in to produce Chris Brown's next album because you're endorsing this guy, this idiot, you know, who beats women, who goes on a nationally syndicated show and acts a complete idiot. You know, well, you're endorsing this guy. He's no role model. He's no role model for
Charlie
Sheen or anyone else.
Charlie Sheen's TV show back
really,
last time.
Really endorsing this guy tonight.
Well, I'm endorsing him. I'm asking the question, why is it Charlie Sheen's going to get his CBS show back? If that's the case, then...
You just got saying that the music business isn't doing good. TV is.
Exactly.
That is wrong. That is
you
wrong.
You keep bringing up Charlie Sheen. Tonight's conversation has nothing to do with Charlie Sheen. It's about Chris Brown and him being a role model and having some type of family value that could be emulated, you know, by the youngsters. And it's evident that he has nothing that anyone can look up to. You know, the fact that you're talking about, you know, the women.
Don't you want people to give you a break? At the end of a tough day? At the end of a tough day, don't you want people to give you a little bit of a break and not talk about things? Here's a man in a business that has been deserted by... Do you buy music?
Yes, I do.
Do you buy music, sir? You're one of the few that are left to buy music. Most of these thieves go online and thieve it.
But I tell you this, I don't endorse idiots like Chris Brown. You know, I tell you that. I'm not going to support that. Does that mean people should pick his pockets? And the fact that you made several references earlier about this rock and roll lifestyle that, you know, women should almost be used to something like that. That is ridiculous. That is absurd that you would make
a statement like that. Well, I would ask you the question, sir, that how would you treat a woman if you were getting your pockets picked regularly?
Well, why would you beat a woman up? I mean, that's what I don't understand, and that's what this asinine point of view that you have, Bill.
Excuse me, Phil, I'm not the one on this program.
It's very asinine. Bill, you kept talking about race. I'm a black guy, okay? So you want to talk about race? I'm talking about Chris Brown.
Then you should have sympathy for me and sympathy
Why should I have sympathy for him? Because he's black.
Because he's being they're picking his pockets.
Charlie Sheen, he's being paid for a TV show.
Oh, come on. Television's doing fine. The music business isn't. That's the difference. All right, Darren, thank you so much for your call, sir. I appreciate it. 877-876-7445. Next hour, we have Kirk Queedy and Guy Barton. Here is Brian in San Antonio. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, Chris Brown has no class, and the fans see that. That's why they don't buy his music. And the industry's in deep trouble.
Fans don't care about that.
Putting out artists like Chris Brown. If they keep putting out artists like Chris Brown, the music industry is in deep trouble. And
what kind of music do you like?
Look, I like everything from Mozart to Metallica, brother. I'm an artist. And let me tell you something.
Well, then why don't you like Chris Brown?
A real man doesn't beat women. He's a little boy. He's a childish boy, little brat. And somebody gave him a career, but he doesn't know how to handle it. Bill, you're a man with no arms, no neck, and your wife pays you to go away. I wish I could pay you to go away.
You know something, sir? I wish that you would be...
Phil Hendry.
I hate him so much.
Sorry?
No, it's not helping.
No, it's not that.
Honey.
Phil Hendry Show, and welcome back here. We got Kirk Queedy and Guy Barton, and they're going to be talking with us here about this... Well, first of all, we got a military mission going on in Libya, and that has obviously necessitated a great deal of debate on America's military future, as well as our, you know, involvement in Libya, putting troops in there, being a part of the UN, and so forth. So we'll have them coming up. Also, our website, philhendryshow.com. Right now, we're doing live streaming video of our show and live streaming audio of the show, and, you know... we've got it there at philhendryshow.com, so if you have an interest in seeing the show as well as listening to it, visit us over there and check out our shop. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Also on our video cast, we have the breaking news of reports of airstrikes in Libya. Is this breaking news, or is this just horse dung?
I think it might happen yesterday.
Oh, that's real breaking news, then. No, it didn't. It happened today.
I think it's something like today, but the sun's out.
It happened today, but the sun's out. All right, anyway. Obama defends U.S. military mission in Libya. President Obama on Tuesday defended the United States' involvement in military strikes in Libya and maintaining that the commitment is limited in time, scope, with a well-defined mission. Now, we have on the line here Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton from the West Virginia State House, and we're going to talk with them about a very, I think, a revolutionary idea. I don't know exactly why... But both of you guys have proposed to the president, through your offices there in West Virginia, a reinstatement of the draft?
No, Phil, that's primarily me. I have been the individual who proposed that, and I proposed that as a result of my feeling that this is a generation of American men that I think have... I don't think there's been a generation of American men before them that have needed that.
Hi, Phil, this guy.
Hi, Guy, how you doing?
Very good. I think Kurt's saying young men in America need the draft today.
That is my point, Phil.
You're talking about bringing the draft back. Why? Because?
Because this is a generation of American men that need the draft, I think, more than any other in the history of America. We have got to get these individuals whipped into shape. We have to get these young people recognizing that there's more to life than simply sitting and looking at porn and being a generation of losers, you know.
Well, you know, the draft was with us through the Nixon years, and we got rid of it because we feel that the draft is not as efficient as a volunteer army. Okay.
Well, the volunteer army, I think, is efficient, but I think it'd be more efficient if we took our young people, these young men, who right now spend more time on the internet or more time on guy has a list.
MySpace, Facebook.
Now, that's MySpace and Twitter and all of this. Now, they're looking for girls. You saw that young man at Craigslist. You heard about that, Phil?
Yes, of course I did.
That man was a serial killer. He murdered a woman. And this is emblematic, I think. A 19-year-old man who is lazy, who is sitting around all day on a couch watching television. He probably won't move out till he's 26. You know who I'm talking about, right?
Well, I know you. You've been talking to me off the air about about your son Taylor, right?
That's right.
And so your son, and you say a lot of other young men are not getting out and pursuing life's challenges. The only problem that I've got here, guys, I wouldn't necessarily disagree that there's got to be. That there has to be in the life of a young person some point where you break the umbilical cord. But to say that the draft needs to be reinstated because we have to get these guys off their asses, how does that help America, you know?
Well, first of all, you are a conservative, Bill. You support the military, right?
And I support the military, yeah. And because I support the military and because I'm a conservative, I do not support the draft. I don't believe in the draft. It might have been something that conservatives believed in at one time, although I don't think that, I think it was split right down the middle, to be honest with you. I do not support a draft. I think that a volunteer army is the best army. I think that that is the conservative way. You get involved with a military service because that is your choice, and you are not dragooned or shanghaied into it by a federal government.
Well, I think that's very convenient, Phil. Being a conservative and all of a sudden you're against the draft.
I'm against the draft because, as I said, it's the ultimate in government interference in the private life of an individual. What they do is they reach out, tap you on the shoulder and say, time for you to serve in the Army. Our military is doing fine as a volunteer force.
Well, it's not doing, the military is not doing well enough, I don't think. And the military is not doing well enough because our young people are not doing well enough. We have a generation of American men who have never been more indolent. They have never I don't know even the word to describe it, but they are unmotivated.
You can't really believe that this is a generation-wide problem. You sure you're not talking about, you know, just, I'm not saying just your son.
No, it's not just my son.
I'm not saying it's just your son. I'm saying that it could be something that has, there are pockets of this as with every generation, you know.
Well, Bill, you can look at it, the statistic. You don't have as many start a business now. These young people come out of college, go home, and sit on the couch, you said, and they're not doing anything, you know, and we're trying to find.
Well, hold on. The economy is bad. I grant you that. Kids are staying home because it makes more economic sense. It isn't because they don't want to cut the umbilical cord necessarily. But there are young people that are striking out on their own, and there are people in their 20s and 30s that are starting businesses. You know, President Obama pointed out this kid who had come up with a piece of equipment that was instrumental in saving those Chilean miners. And this was an American citizen. He doesn't look like he's much more than 31 or 32.
That young man, you know, you have to understand that that is more of an exception than the rule. In America today, with the military missions that we have undertaken, all of which are started by a Republican president, and a generation of millions of American men, like my son Taylor, who's 19 years old, a great example of a young man who seems to be hell-bent on breaking his mother's heart. And that is to stay in his house and not do anything, stay in his room and play it on with it.
Playing on the video games, too, Phil.
Well, they're going to be doing that. But to try to solve the problem with the draft, you know, Don't you think parents ought to be taking a little bit more of a hand in getting these kids oriented?
I think the parents, absolutely, but I think the federal government has a great opportunity to help parents. And, of course, there are a lot of parents that don't know how to do this. They don't know how to motivate their children. They don't know how to give their children goals. They don't know how to make their children accountable for their responsibilities. They don't know how to make their children responsible to society. They don't know how to make a child courageous enough to join the military and go out and fight for his country and give his life for his country when the country needs him. I don't think we have parents like that.
So this is now the government's job again, and that's why, as I've often said on this show, you guys will come on my program, and nothing against you, Kurt or Guy, I like both of you, but when you start going, you know, down this path of proposing these so-called progressive liberal policies, it's all the same thing. It's the government having to solve this problem that private citizens don't get to.
What problem the government trying to solve?
Well, you're talking about the young men being drafted into the military because the parents don't know how to give them goals. The parents don't know how to give them a purpose in life. The parents don't know how to educate them. The parents, I mean, isn't that true?
Well, it's failing. We have a set business right now. We have a gold standard program that can whip a young man and show him way and call the military. And
well, that's a very good point, Phil. I think what Guy said is good. That's a gold standard program in showing a young man how to man up, stand on his own two feet for the first time in his life, be a man about it, and same thing with young women. Stand up, be a woman about it, be a woman and strong woman, and join the military. And
you think this problem is limited to young men, or is it both genders?
I think it's mostly young men.
Yeah, we think it's mostly young men. Young women are, you look at young women today, and I think every generation of young women, they're very industrious. Young women want a chance, an opportunity to get out on their own. I think it's been that way for many years, that a young woman wants to find her own way and will go, and she will suffer the indignities of life a little more than a young man. The other thing about women is they got more stamina, you know.
Yeah, young men, they don't want to break the apron string and the fate of man, you know.
Young men want to stay on a nipple too long, you know.
All right, so you got basically a problem with men then. That's what you're saying, which I may be true and may not be true. And I don't even think, even if it is a problem, the problem belongs to that young man, his parents, and those are the people that are going to solve it. To use the United States military as some kind of a wet nurse, you know.
Well, look, it's not a wet nurse, but it's a military.
Well, that's what you're saying. Why don't we use the United States military as some place, like some kindergarten, for these guys to go and learn how to be men? What the hell is this, man? Is this like marijuana boot camp or something?
Now, you disrespect military.
No, you guys are disrespecting the military, saying we need the draft so we can get a whole bunch of guys that are sitting around playing with it until they're 26 on their mother's couch.
Well, what else are you going to do with them? You know,
I don't know. It ain't my job, man. You know, those guys can sit on their ass, and their parents can let them sit on their ass. And there might be another guy that's 26 who busted out on his own, has got a business that's going, went out on his own and got something going. Maybe he'll hire those guys. I don't know. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Should the United States military, should the president reinstate the draft? The draft. In order to get up and moving a generation of young men that in the minds of my guests here, Kurt Quede and Guy Barton, West Virginia State Senators, a generation of American men who need it more than any other in history. And I think that's also very insulting to a generation of young people that have struggled to get through school.
Oh, come on, baby. You know, you look at these young people today. They're paying money to go on a gaming everything.
Yeah, they're paying good money to go on a gaming tournament, get on a game, you know, where you're blowing up a robot or try to kill off an alien, you know.
Yeah, if they go to military, they'll learn a practical skill.
Well, I don't know that they're all sitting on their ass doing gaming tournaments. I don't know that that's true at all. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Should the United States draft be reinstated to give the American male of draft age, this generation of American men, some kind of tutelage or lessons in manhood? 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call.
877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Talking here with Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton. You guys are seeing this video from Libya. We have it up on our video cast. New airstrikes in Libya.
And again, Phil, I think that President Obama has deeply disappointed the American people because we said it was going to be a no-fly zone, and now he's lobbing missiles in there.
Yeah, the deception we are against.
Well, we can certainly discuss that, I agree with you. I wanted it to be at the very, very limit of a no-fly zone. But what we're talking about is something bigger, reinstating the draft. And basically, really, Kurt, I mean, it gets just down to you talking about the draft being needed for a generation of men who are mama's boys and sitting there on the couch till they're 26.
And again, when Taylor got out of high school,
now you're talking about your son.
No, I'm talking about all of them. You know, but they'll sit on the couch or they'll go to their mother and they get the protection of their mother. See, they'll all get their mother's protection. And when I go and talk to her and I say, "We got to do something," or this boy is going to go a direction we don't want.
Are you talking about your son or others?
No, I'm talking about everyone. You know,
you got that. If you find a muscle magazine,
I found some magazines that I was very upset with. I don't know what the boy is thinking of doing.
What did you find?
We found a muscle magazine, this kind of thing, but a homosexual will be.
You're a liberal. What's wrong with that?
Don't insult me, Phil. I am a liberal and I am a progressive. But any father would be worried if finding his son on a muscle mag, looking at a man.
Yeah, that only concern on that.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I don't think, you know, don't go that road. If your son is gay, then he's gay. I would not get stressed out about that. It's no reason to reinstate the draft. Here is Kevin. Kevin in Walnut, California. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Phil. Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
You know, I heard this conversation, and I had to call in. I'm personally in the 26-year-old. I've been really successful. I'm married, have two kids, home and family and everything.
Congratulations.
And all of that success came from parents that motivated me to go out and get a job and go to college and do everything. And every person that I know that is my age that's living at home and doing nothing is doing that because their parents are allowing them to do that. And I think the notion that, you know, a parent is enabling their child to stay at home and do nothing all of a sudden feels like it's the government's responsibility to reinstate the draft is just absolutely absurd. You know, be a parent and help your kid out and get them off their butt and go and do something. But it's not the responsibility of the government to fix every family problem.
Guy, I think what you said there was very good. Kevin, Guy or Kurt?
Well, I thank the young man for his point of view, but I think he's wrong. I think that we have a generational problem. This is not something that you can say the parents will do. It's kind of the same way as saying a woman who had no husband, no support, well, she can go out and get a loaf of bread. Well, she had no money. How are you going to get a loaf of bread? Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, wait. What do you mean? That doesn't quite...
Wait, we're saying it. You have the incapability, and your son got a... And I don't know this gentleman, but Mr. Queedy's son had a muscle magazine. He worried about a sexual problem he may have.
I'm worried about my son, who is fooling around with a muscle magazine, and these kind of things.
What about a muscle magazine? What do you mean, that he may be gay?
No, I'm saying he needs manhood. Now, Kevin, you've got manhood, but I would dare say, Kevin, that your manhood comes from your own inner drive than a different parent. My son Taylor is a waste of space. He's a loser. I'm ashamed of him, and now I find gay material. You see?
May I comment?
Yes, please, please do, young man.
You mentioned where you think my manhood comes from, and I think I have an opinion on that. I think for me personally, where it came from was parents that were A, supportive, but also pushed me very hard to do everything that I did. I'm surviving right now.
I don't agree with that.
Well,
I don't agree with that.
Hear me out.
Let the young man talk.
Hear me out. My parents came to me. They were totally broke, and they told me in my senior year of high school, listen, we know you want to go to Juilliard. We know that you want to do this really bad, but we don't have a penny for it. So whatever you have to do it on your own. And I worked my butt off. I paid my way through college. I got scholarship. And everything that I did on my own with their support.
Now, I think you're giving your parents too much credit. I think that manhood comes from you. And I think if the government had been there for you, you wouldn't have had to go to work. You could have had a scholarship.
Well, here we go again, man. Can't somebody do what he did, Kevin did? He worked his way. He got his things together. He did his thing. Everything with you guys is the government. And
I'm not talking about everything. I've got a young son who's looking at muscle magazines. I got a problem, okay? I've got a problem.
All right.
Well, personally,
I need for that boy. I got to get that boy into the Army or something.
Yeah, don't ask, don't tell, though.
What do you mean, don't ask, don't tell?
He's making a joke, which I think is a tasteless joke. Look, Kevin, I thank you very much, and congratulations on starting your life out in such a great way. Thank you. 877-876-PHIL. Here is a break coming up right now.
I've got a son looking at Blue Boy, Muscle Magazine, practicing a butt drag. And you telling me what? You say me go and get him a scholarship to Juilliard? What, to play a violin like some Daisy?
Hold on, we'll be back. Phil Hendry.
Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL.
Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
You don't understand that.
No, I totally understand.
I think the audience would be interested. I'm having a discussion here with Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton about both Kurt and Guy have proposed reinstating the draft, saying that this is a generation of young men who need the draft. Now, I want you to say again what you said, because we're talking about, I told you, that one of the great things about being young is you can get in there and fail, and if you've got your wits about you, it's not the end of the world. Failing, especially failing at that age, is a good thing.
I think you're wrong, and I'll tell you why. You fail. The government doesn't do enough, I don't think. And here I'm going to talk about the government. I know you hate me talking about the government. The government doesn't do enough in a situation like that to help a young person and say, you don't have to fail. We're going to give you the tools to help you succeed. Why would you want to fail, force a young person to fail when you can put the draft, get him in the Army, teach him to man up like a man for the first time in his life instead of laying around reading a magazine on how to butt drag and this? And
what do you mean man up? There's nothing the Army is going to teach unless we get into a war and you've drafted a young person who may wind up getting himself killed because he didn't want to be in the military, because he was drafted in the military. Who knows, you know? When you can teach them, give them the tools of success, which is just what I said. You know, failing is not a bad thing. You know, during a break, Jason and I were talking. We were talking about strikeouts. We were talking about how the great hitters all have the strikeout record.
Oh, don't go down that road. Come on. Look, you ain't my granddaddy. I've heard all them stories.
Well, you know what? There are a lot of people that haven't heard them. The fact that Macy went bankrupt eight times, Macy, the guy that founded the Macy's department store. Do you think that guy got discouraged? Just one of the most successful men in the history of American business. Here is Amanda in San Francisco. Amanda, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I don't even know who you're talking with.
Macy's department store.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Hi, Amanda. Go ahead. Hey, you know what, Amanda? Hi. I got to put you on hold for a second because I've been... Okay, Amanda, go ahead. You're back on.
I'm 26 and an Army veteran, and
yes,
I don't think that the draft would help our young men today. being bad, in the Army, I don't want someone standing next to me fighting that doesn't want to be there.
Well, my point would be this, Amanda, and this is Kirk Wheaty. The Army, I think, United States Army is what it's called. Now, that's been the reason why we call that the United States Army, is every single citizen has an opportunity to serve the country. Now, if the Army can't teach a young man to, then you are a fine young lady who volunteered service in the United States Army, and you ought to be commended. But a young man, a lot of young men out there, and you know this, Amanda, because you have to go out there and deal with them every day. You know these young men, they ain't got a lick of sense. They're hiding behind their mama. I think they need to learn a little bit of manhood.
But I don't think shoving them into the Army is—I don't think shoving them into the Army is going to teach them anything. It's just going to teach them that the government has control over them and is making them do something. When the problems with the military have to do with the government mismanaging the military in the first place.
Yeah, but you know that the young man in the military, you know, Army, get a drill instructor, what you call, and they gonna run him ragged, you know. What's the saying a man said?
Your rear end is the grass on the lawnmower.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying about that, Amanda? So, I know you're a good soldier. You get a young man who all he want to do is sit home with his mama and play dominoes or go to the grocery store with her and push the shopping cart, you know.
You see what I'm saying?
No.
Yeah, but
I don't think
reinstituting the draft is going to help motivate them to do anything, but just shove them out there and say, I have to be here because the military said I do, and then when their service is done, they're still going to be sitting home with mom. It's not going to motivate them to do anything with their lives.
Yeah, but at least they're going to go in the draft, they're going to Army. They're not going to be sitting home with their mama. They're going to be in the military, see?
Amanda, this girl, I want to ask you a question. Are you a young married lady? Are you married now? Or can you tell me a little something about the men? Or perhaps you are not dating, but I want you to give me a candid idea. My son Taylor is a real disgrace to the male species. And I love him very much, but he sits, he watches all stupid-looking wrestling shows with his underwear on. His mother come in, ask him what he wants, meatloaf and mashed potato. He get everything he wants. He goes in and talks to his mama. You know what I'm saying?
I know men that do that who are Army veterans and who've been to war and come home and do the same exact thing.
Yeah, but maybe they're traumatized. They need their mama.
Okay, look, Amanda's saying that men who've been to war, men who've been in combat, men who were volunteers, because we don't have a draft, come home and all they want to do is eat meatloaf, mashed potatoes, and be with their mama.
Exactly.
Yeah, but that's only on account of the fact they miss their mama because they were way far away in the military, you know, in the charnel house of hell.
Existential hell.
Yeah.
All right, anyway, thank you very much, Amanda, for your call. I appreciate it, and thank you for your service to our country. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to... What is that, before we go to another call, what is that supposed to mean?
I'll tell you about the young lady.
She was saying that she knows men who have been in the military, who have been to war, and come home and sit around in their underwear and want to see their moms.
Yeah, but we're saying that. We understand. That's
an understandable need for a man to decompress and to be debriefed, you know. I used to make a joke about a debrief and take his underwear off, and that was a joke. It was a very bad joke. But if a man comes home to be debriefed and he wants to be with his mama after he's been in all that war, that's one thing. But a young man like my son who takes up oxygen in space that could be easily used by someone more worthy, all he want to do is sit around and eat jello shot with his mama.
Yeah, that's the thing about that.
You know, you've been talking more about your own son than the bigger problem here, and I wonder if that's not the case, Kurt.
No, the case, it's a generational problem. There's no question about it.
But you've been talking an awful lot about your son, Taylor. That's all I'm saying. 877-876-PHIL. And we're going to go to another phone call here. It is Lisa. Lisa in Houston, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Lisa. I am Lisa. I am giving you the mother's perspective. First of all, I raised my son at the time as a single mom with a baby on my hip. I worked full-time. I went to college full-time.
Oh, yeah.
Provided him with a great life. Okay, and in my house, you have that little boy is now an 18-year-old. And in my house, you have three options. You go to college, you go to the military, or you get a job and you save your money and you're out in 6 months. We cannot allow the government to raise our children. Are you kidding? A draft?
Well, I think,
first, you all
see,
say
you
that you don't want the government involved in your lives. You don't want big government. But when it's convenient, you want the government to be involved for you. Even the Bible says train up your children in the way to go. And when they grow old, they won't depart from it. We have to raise our children. We have to push them
out. We're not doing a good job of it.
We
can't
enable them
to
be losers. I will not perpetuate Loserville.
You're going to make him a loser.
Not an option in my house. And when they're tired of being hungry, they're either going to go to college, go to the military, or get a job. But I'm not going to let you sit up in my bedroom and live comfortable because I provided too good of a life. You need to man up and be a father to that boy and be emotionally available and teach him about manhood.
Talk about
and
you man
stop
up.
Being lazy and involving the government.
Talk about you man up.
Shame on
you. Well, hold
you.
On. I can't hear this lady because you guys are talking over her.
No, I think the lady is, I think the woman is old.
You need to be a father and be emotionally available to your son. Lift him up, motivate him, and get him out of your house.
Jacking this whole thing up. You got it all jacked up.
No, you got it jacked up that you're letting him sit there and do nothing. My 18-year-old son is, guess where he is? Away at college. Because living up in my house doing nothing was not an option. Because I led by example, raising him with hard work and education. Yes, I provided him with a good life. But my money is not his money. He has to create his own wealth.
Well, but you see, the government would easily have helped you, and you wouldn't have had to go through all that mess had the government taken that boy.
No, I tell you what. Now, why don't you just sign up for welfare for you and your entire family? And then you all can live off the government.
Well, no, I don't want no welfare, ma'am.
But yes, you do. You want moderate
welfare
for
the
draft.
No, the military. But, man, the military is already there.
Yeah, and
that's
if you
already
institute
a program.
A draft, you just want a modern-day, modernized version of welfare because you can't raise your own kids.
Exactly.
That's
what
joke.
It sounds like. You want
to
take,
to
a perfectly...
emotionally and spiritually available to your kids.
The
stop yelling your son and
there.
Take the time to raise him. You are the father who teaches him how to be
can
a man.
Can I say something,
you
Mr. Henry, because this lady's been talking
so
long enough.
The question
go ahead.
Is, what type of example are you?
You're going to have to send someone
you need
to her
look
house
in the mirror, buddy.
And tell her to...
Take a look in the mirror.
Don't tell anybody to shut. Thank you very much, Lisa. Thank you very much, Lisa, for your call.
I know, joke. I'm using the United States military as a way to help my son achieve some manhood. While you have your son, what's the difference between me telling my son go to military and your son sit home reading Muscle magazine?
Anyway, thank you very much, Lisa. Our number 877-876-PHIL. What is it with the Muscle magazines?
Well, I haven't heard anyone address what I think is a very serious problem, and that is the following thing. With my son off in the military, he's not going to have access to no Muscle mag, which I think began this downward spiral for him. Now, I love my son very much, but you know, and I've said on this program many times, he wastes the oxygen he breathes, the space he takes up. All he wants to do is sit around the kitchen and lick the, he wants to lick those blender blades after his mama makes the chocolate, she makes chocolate icing. Right after she does that, he likes to lick the blender, you know.
Lick the blender? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about after she makes the Man, you don't listen. I'm talking about...
I hear what you're saying. So your son acts like a child. So how old is he?
My son's 21.
21 years old, and he's sitting around in the kitchen licking the icing off of a blender blade. Why don't you get that boy into some kind of job? Did he go to school?
He got 2 years. Don't start talking down to me, Phil. He got 2 years of community college.
2 years of community college, sitting on his ass doing nothing. I'd get him into some kind of job training or sit down and have a long, hard talk with him, but to use the United States military, the U.S. Army, as some kind of a, quote, manhood school. Jesse in Chattanooga, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Guy Barton and Kurt Queedy. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I am 23 years old, and I'm an outbound supervisor at a Fortune 500 LTL company. It's trucking. I supervise men ranging the age from 20 to 55 years old. I've got all these guys, and they respect me because I'm the youngest supervisor within the company, period, and I've done
you
that through hard work. I did
were
not get to my position because of a college education. I've never went to college. I made it at high school. I busted my butt, and I made it to where I am because I'm not lazy, and I'm a member of this young male group you're talking about calling lazy, I've got men that work for me that are younger than me. I've never, if they're, these men work their butts off. And
hey,
I've seen time and time again.
Jesse, it's Phil. Hold the line here for just a second because I've done something again that is going to make my guys very angry. Okay, Jesse, go ahead. I've got to, we're switching some electronics here. Go ahead, sir.
Well, yeah, but that man is talking to me about.
To continue.
What about my son?
Not only have I
got Muscle Magazine
where I am, another thing, I work at Muscle Magazines. It's because it's got good tips in it for when you work out. It ain't got nothing to do about being gay. They got other men in there to show their products off. This man got this big from taking this. It's advertising.
But
it ain't got anything
to
do with homosexuality.
It seems suspect to me, is all I was trying to say.
It's got, it's weightlifting. It's bodybuilding. It's what guys do. It's a hobby for a lot of guys.
Yeah, I'll bet it is.
Oh, you know something with you guys? You got to look gay and everything. You know, the military right now, because I don't think we've gotten rid of, well, I don't know what the status is. The fact is, it's probably not the best place to say you're gay. But you got your son.
I think it's going to cure him.
Well, it's going to cure him of what?
Reading on a Muscle Magazine.
This man just told you it's a weightlifting. Is that right, Jesse, or bodybuilding?
That's
one of the
correct.
Two. Yeah.
I don't know, Jesse. I mean, you sound like a good young man, but you got to understand, you're very, very rare. Very rare. Most of the young men your age, again, I have to say it, they're living in their houses in a bunk bed. They're still sleeping in the same bunk bed they slept in when they was eight.
All right, now let me tell you something. I've got a lot of friends my age. That's the way it goes. Your friends are usually your age. Most of these men are working just as hard as I am. They haven't made the success that I have. But they're still hard workers. There ain't nothing about being lazy. Sometimes it's just hard to find a job. There's not a surplus of employers out there just die for people to come in. Jobs are going overseas.
That's right.
Jobs are being lost
due
to the economy. It's not that
easy. I want to ask you a man a question.
People being lazy.
I'd like to ask you a question, young man, if I may. I just want to know, does your friend sleep in bunk beds? Do they sleep two to a bunk bed, anything like that?
Absolutely not. Most of these men have moved out and are renting an apartment.
They're
whether it's a good apartment
homes.
Or a bad apartment, it doesn't matter. They're
oh,
trying
right,
to make
okay.
it on their own. And like Phil,
they're not in a bunk bed.
Right.
Yeah, they're not
in
bunk
beds. It's a bump in the road and you learn from it.
All right, thanks, Jesse, very much, and congratulations on your success. Very, very good. 877-876-PHIL.
So he said, all right, you got to write that down.
All right, I made a notation.
So they're not sleeping in a bunk bed?
They're not sleeping in bunk beds. And what was this two to a bunk bed?
What I mean about oiling a man up, you know.
All right, 877, never mind, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, Kurt Queedy, Guy Barton. Should we bring the draft back? Should we bring the draft back? Because this is a good way of butching up and manning up a generation of men that they say are lazy. Well, I dare say that they're not looking at the world straight. 877-876-7445. The world famous Phil Henry Show back next hour. It's our news hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And you wanted what?
I want to know if I could. I just want to ask Guy Barton, my partner. Do you have that number on that
Muscle Magazine address?
Why do you want the address of the Muscle Magazine?
I have to know when my son's reading. I have to understand why he is and why a generation of young men are reading Muscle Mag. And oiling up everything.
Why don't you, if you really want to read up what your son's reading, just take one of the magazines he's got.
Well, it's very difficult because the pages, I can't get the pages apart.
Trying to do that.
You know what I'm
Yeah, I know. 877-876-PHIL. You know, I your jokes.
Well, look, Phil, this is a very serious situation in my home and across the country because I have to tell you, I feel at this time my home and the country are one and the same. My son is emblematic of what's happening to a generation of young men, whether they are simply uninterested in working or they need their mama
or they just ain't man enough to go out and tackle this world, we felt the Army be a good idea. Now, I know that what you have as a conservative...
Look, yes, exactly. As a conservative, I'm going to have an audience of people that believe the things that I believe, and one of them is the government doesn't solve every problem, man. The government doesn't solve the problem of manhood. The government doesn't solve the problem of finding a job, for God's sake. You know, we do have a thing called affirmative action in this country based upon the racial inequality of the past. But your son is a young man whose father is in politics and business. You're doing well. He's got every opportunity. He's done 2 years of college. Why don't you butch him up and man him up?
Well, me a man, how am I man up a young man living under my roof? And even though he know I disapprove, he's got you know what I mean. He's got pictures of men. And
he's got a Muscle magazine, which is far and away different from what it is you're saying. Let's go to a phone call. Here's Zach in Detroit. Zach, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I have a question for the father that you are a poor excuse for a father. Have you tried talking to your son, maybe about the way you feel, and maybe?
Well, I did. I did one time we got together. What I did was this, Zach.
One time? How recently one time?
Well, it was within the last couple of weeks, and I said to him at the time, why are you reading a Muscle magazine with all them men in their little tiny, you know? He said, because I want to go into weightlifting. So that's when I knew.
Okay,
hello?
So maybe he wants to go into weightlifting.
Well, I know that's a lie.
How do you know that's a lie? Did you ask him?
Well, what would you say?
I'm a gay man, and I don't look at those type of magazines. And I don't think any... I still am very much a man. And I developed my manhood and learned a lot from my father, because my father communicated with me about things. And
well,
it sounds like you were trying to... let me finish. It sounds like you are not manning up. So how can you expect your son to man up to anything when he sees you that's about a half a man and trying to have the government do your work as a parent?
Well, I don't know how you say I'm half a man when I see that young man go in the military. And I tell you what, if they put him over there in
Libya... You're half a man because you are not communicating with your own child.
You are choosing
to have the government do your parenting.
No, that's wrong. I said to my son, listen, how come you got a Muscle magazine? All right. He said, because I want to go to weightlifting. I said, you know that's a lie. He said, no, it ain't. And then I said, I made some crack about the man he's looking at in the magazine picture. And then I said, come on, man, let's make it. Now I sound like I'm queer.
From the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
I just want to know why the liberals are pro-Muslim.
We have not put this issue in front of the American people.
It just came up out of nowhere. And
it's not cool, it's not funny.
Not anymore. We got a whole this week on the Phil Henry Show. God Almighty. On this radio show, ladies and gentlemen, unlike any other nationally syndicated show in history, we still are trying to figure out how loud is too loud.
Well, you have to get mad about it.
Why not get mad about it? Why not get mad about it? Why not? I'm being cool about it and helping. Being a cool guy about it ain't helping. Being a nice guy about it isn't helping anything. Being mad about it isn't helping anything. Nothing helps. Nothing! Unlike any other nationally syndicated radio show in this business going on 38 years. 38 years. I know what a level is. When it goes into the red, we can't hear nothing on this show. Oh, my God. I've kept a lid on it. I've flipped out behind the scenes. I have gone crazy off the air. Now it's spilling over onto the air. That's what they want. Maybe that's somebody up there, upstairs in broadcast land. Oh my God. I love being on the radio, but I'm telling you folks, the business model in radio, it's like a bombed out city. I don't know that we have any industry leaders. We have none. You know, Howard Stern is suing Mel Karmazin. You know that, don't you?
I heard about that.
How long have I been telling you that guy was an accident waiting to happen, that Karmazin? Everybody kissing his ass because they think he's some kind of a rainmaker with that Sirius XM. A child could have seen what he did was buy out the competition, then wound up spending money on talent that isn't even talent. I don't know what he was doing. I mean, there's not a human being. There isn't a scientist. There isn't a, ladies and gentlemen, there is no school or discipline that can tell you what it was that Mel Karmazin was doing over at Sirius XM. Now, he can tell you. He can sit there with Sean Hannity and say, you see, I believe to create wealth, you have to have wealth. And to have wealth, you know, whatever bull crap you're pitching this week, Karmazin. When I listened to you then, I listened to you when you bought XM. I've listened to you all along the way. And there's not a bloody word that comes out of your mouth that makes any sense. Not any. I said that in a letter to some jackass with a radio blog, right? And this guy, and this is the way the radio industry is, this is particularly the radio press, they don't want to say a bad thing about Karmazin. There's certain people they don't want to talk bad about. Well, they don't talk really bad about anybody except the little people. They have a field day dumping on people that have no real power in this business. The cats that have all the juice, they don't go near. A guy like Karmazin, or Westwood One, or whatever, you know. They don't go near it, man. You've never seen a business like the radio business. You've never been around anything like it. Most businesses try to get better. Most businesses try to improve the product. Most businesses will get together and talk about the product. How can we improve the product? How can we deliver it better? How can we give the people a real bang for their buck? What can we do? What are we not doing on the air? You go to a radio seminar these days, we're not talking about how we make our shows better. We're debating politics. We're doing our shows for each other. I mean, I'm telling you, have you ever in your life heard of anything more ridiculous? We get a whole bunch of these gas-bagging talk show hosts together. Oh, in Marina Del Rey one year, or in New York the next year, or in Las Vegas some other year. And instead of sitting down as professionals are saying, say, what are you doing on your show? Well, here's what I'm doing. Well, how are you doing this? What are you doing? How are you maximizing quarter hour? How are you keeping the audience through commercial break? That's what we should be talking about. But no, we don't do that. We sit around and we do our shows for each other. We talk about our politics, our political point of view, as if any of it is real. As if the political points of view. Anyway, this is exactly what we talk about on the show. This is just business. You know, you want to talk about business. I'm not going to talk about the government right now because, you see, I want to make money, and I don't want to waste my time. I don't want to waste my time fooling around and screwing around with a lot of baloney just because somebody is a phony, has got some kind of a phony radio show and wants to talk about how the government this, the government that. The government's got all kinds of problems, and the government does all kinds of bad things, but hey, you know, when it comes to my business, I want to find a way to make money, and the government ain't holding me back. It's not holding my industry back. The stupid bastards that run this business are holding us back. So today we got the news that Howard Stern, who is one of the legendary talents in this business, and it's an amazing thing, and I've said this before, Howard Stern is a legendary talent, and this industry acts as if he doesn't even exist. I mean, the way they talk about him. You listen to guys. Well, you know, I've heard about him, but I've never listened to him. You listen to more lies about Howard Stern, or they'll say, you know, he's, you know, I believe in doing real radio, not what Howard Stern does. When you hear someone knock Howard Stern, that guy is a jive-ass, punk-ass amateur. He's not a real broadcaster. Howard Stern is a legend, like Wolfman Jack. Like Wolfman Jack. Like, locally, Bob Grant in New York. And you can name your own local legends. Nationally, though, we've had them. And that's just a fact, see? So, all right, so be that as it may, you know, Mel Karmazin hires him to go over to SiriusXM, and now Howard's suing this guy because he says, Stern says, and his agent Don Buchwald say that Karmazin's stiffing him for stock money they owe him, I believe. Now, whether that's true or not, and I have no way of knowing because it's a lawsuit, so there's one side, I will tell you this. The radio business, the business end, the end of it that is run by guys like Karmazin is in abysmal shape, and you can't blame anybody other than people like Karmazin. You cannot blame the government. The government has bent over backwards for guys like him. The government has bent over backwards for these radio companies. They've bent over backwards allowing them to license all kinds of stations. They've bent over backwards allowing them to lease all kinds of stations. You know the story. No, no. This is a group of the most feckless bastards allowed to live past the cradle. They make the guys in Detroit look like brain surgeons. They make the bankers look like they're all seers, oracles. And he ain't the only one that's suing people. There's a raft of people in this business that are suing employers or partners. The money guys. The talent is now turning around and suing the money people. That's what's happening. That's what's happening. You know why? Because they're finding out something that I've known for a long time. These clowns are about as empty a suit as you're ever going to find. They can't sell it, can't market it, can't affiliate it. They can't do anything with it. Now, do you know people that listen to the radio? Yes. You know a lot of people listen to the radio? Yes. Would it appear to you that the radio business is healthy, at least in terms of people that want to listen to it? Yes. Do you think then that maybe we could sell the radio business? Yes. Do you think we have people that can do that? No. It's like automobiles. The auto business is doing poorly. All I see are cars. Everywhere I go, there's a car. So there's got to be a way to sell them. Somebody's buying them. I see them out here on the street. Same thing with the radio business. So it's going to be a real interesting, this is going to be an interesting 2011, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, but what do you think going to happen?
I don't know. But I'm going to tell you this much. The satellite business, which at one time was really, it had a future. The satellite radio business had a future. It has now been outpaced by internet radio. I never would have believed it, but internet radio is now the model. And they're making money. We're making money. Our website makes money. Now, we're not internet radio. We do an over-the-air show, but we have a website business, a subscription business, and we're doing okay. Knock wood. So far, so good. You know, I'm not saying I'm some kind of a genius businessman, but satellite radio that had the power 3, 4, 5 years ago, they have none. You've never seen anything like it before in your life. You've never seen an industry or a part of an industry drop the ball as quickly as those guys. So we'll find out.
Boy, you better hope nobody here,
oh man, you're always saying that.
Bud, who's gonna hear it? What are you talking about, man? What do I care?
They'll never allow you to be on there.
I don't give a damn. I don't care. I don't work for free. Going over to Sirius means I gotta work for nothing. Are you out of your mind? You know, look, I know we're in a down economy, man. Does that mean I got to sit here and start picking my clothes out of a bin someplace? If those guys can't pay, then we're going to have to go out and find some other place that pays. That's all there is to it. Or we're going to sit here and pay ourselves, you know, or whatever we got to do.
Yeah, but what if Mr. Kim Karmazin says that he wants to pay you $1 billion?
Yeah. You think that's going to happen?
Well, if Howard Stern goes away...
No, it ain't gonna happen. Any guy that's so stupid, he pays Oprah Winfrey the money that he paid her to be on the radio. The radio. Any guy that's so stupid that pays Martha Stewart the money that he paid her to be on the radio, not television, radio. Any cat that is that dumb ain't smart enough to pay me. Now, that's the truth, Ruth, as the man said, right? That's it.
That's it, man.
All right, coming back, where's the best place to work, huh? What is the number one place on a list of desired employers? What do you think that is? Don't say it. And he will, too. We'll be back with that and more on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Lawrence Taylor also is now officially a sex offender, officially. So, I don't know.
Send him a card?
Send him a card, yeah. We'll be back, world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Why would you say something like that?
Looks like you got a shrunken head.
Hey, man, don't you shut up and say stuff like that.
Well, does.
You know something, bud? If that happened to you, we're back. Welcome back to world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, Radio for Patriots by Patriots. We're talking about this terribly unfortunate young man, Dallas Weans. He was a construction worker. This poor young man was terribly disfigured in a power line accident. And... What happened to him is just tragic, and yet he has undergone a face transplant surgery, and he got kisses from his three-year-old daughter.
Daughter kissed? Well, I'm not trying to make no fun.
Yeah, you are making fun, and I don't like it. Saying the guy looks like he's got a shrunken head.
Yeah, man. I mean, what if that was you?
I wouldn't want a face transplant. I want to get a head transplant. On account,
get out of here, man.
You guys are throwing a face to face.
You don't have to say stupid, insensitive crap like that, you dummy.
I got a plate in my head.
Yeah, you got a plate in your head, all right. You ought to consider yourself lucky. This poor kid, you ought to see this kid. Well, suffice to say, the young man suffered such horrific burns that there's nothing left of his face. And I mean that literally. So what they're going to do is they performed one of these face transplants, which is... You know, we've heard so much about it, and they're really amazing. And I'm going to hold this picture up for my viewers on the video cast, but now I got to tell you, it's very shocking, all right? So I'm going to give you 5 seconds from now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, you see that? That young man, you can see that's a devastating, devastating injury. But that is a photograph that I showed you from 2010. Now, they just performed a full face transplant in the hopes that he'll smile again. This is part of the copy. And feeling kisses from his three-year-old daughter. He received a new nose, lip, skin, muscle, and nerves from an unidentified dead donor in an operation paid for by the U.S. military, which wants to use what is learned to help soldiers with severe facial wounds. That's amazing. Weans will not resemble either what he used to be or the donor, but something in between, said plastic surgeon Dr. Bowden Pomerhawk. The tissues are really molded on a new person. Pomerhawk led a team of more than 30 doctors, nurses, and other staff at Brigham and Women's Hospital during the 15-hour operation last week. This is in Boston, I think. Weans was listed in good condition at the Boston Hospital on Monday. He did not appear at a news conference with the surgeon. The Fort man's features were all but burned away, and he was left blind after hitting a power line while painting a church in November 2008. Oh, my God. The transplant was not able to restore his sight. He's lost his sight, and some nerves were so badly damaged from his injury that he will probably have only partial sensation on his left cheek and left forehead, said the surgeon. When I saw Dallas for the first time, I was worried that there may not be much we could do, said Dr. Pomahawk. Weans has been able to talk to his family on the phone and his grandfather, Del Peterson, who attended the news conference. If you saw the news conference, his grandfather was there helping him, his grandson, walk to the car. I mean, it was to me, it was just it was a beautiful thing to see a family like that. You know,
that was his grandfather. I was wondering who that man was.
Yeah, that was his grandfather. After the accident, Ween said he could choose to get bitter or he could choose to get better. His choice was to get better. Thank God today he's better, said his grandfather, Mr. Peterson. In an Associated Press story and a YouTube video last fall, Ween spoke poignantly about why he wanted a transplant and how he wanted to smile again and feel kisses from his daughter, who turns 4 next month. Face transplants give horribly disfigured people hope of an option other than looking in the mirror and hating what they see, he said. He told the AP that his daughter and his faith have kept him motivated. She says, Daddy has a boo-boo, but God and the doctors are making Daddy's boo-boo all better.
Man, you think she really said that?
Why wouldn't she have said it?
Well, I mean, it sounds so cute and everything. Maybe they made it up on account to make it, you know what I mean?
Boy, bud, you're really cynical, man.
Yeah, no kidding, man. Why can't a kid say that?
It sounds too perfect.
Well, maybe little kids talk that way.
Yeah, but don't it sound perfect?
Yeah, it sounds perfect. And you want to know something, bud? Sometimes life is perfect. You see what happened to this poor man? How about a little something perfect coming out of it, for God's sake?
Well, it's not like Daddy had a boo-boo. It sounded like somebody wrote it for her.
What is with you, man? Is everything a TV show with you?
You ought to see Truman Show, what I saw the other night.
Yeah, well, I saw that for the first time, too.
Oh, is that right? You two guys saw Truman Show, huh?
Yeah.
Well, hey, they saw Truman Show.
You ought to see it.
I have seen it.
It's all about how everything's a TV show.
Oh, really? Is that right? Look, I know that, man, okay? It ain't like it's some revelation. I understand about Truman. It's got nothing to do with this. The Truman Show is a movie that came out at a period of time, that was pre-9/11, as I remember, at a time of heightened cynicism. You know, I think it's funny, I forget how cynical we really were. Following 9/11, people started joking about, oh, they say the world's going to change. What's changed about it? A hell of a lot has changed. A hell of a lot has changed. There's a lot of people that wish it wasn't, that it never happened. I see those people. They get all pissed off when you talk about it. Those are the people that don't like talking about it, you know. And then I see people that are, like, amping in the other direction. But the fact is that cynicism behind a movie like Truman Show, that everything's a TV show, that everything is manipulated, that everything is, and you know, here we are caught in the Matrix. That's another one. Sometimes life is just not. What's the new one now that we were looking at, Robert? What was that?
Called Adjustment Bureau.
The Adjustment Bureau. But that looks like a turd.
What are you talking about? It looks bitching.
That looks like a turd.
Why? Why do you say that?
How many more movies do I got to look at about, well, behind the scenes, you weren't supposed to do this and you weren't supposed to do that, because behind the scenes is the Matrix. Behind the scenes is the Adjustment Bureau. Behind the scenes is the Truman Show guy. Behind the scenes. This is what we want. We think we fear it. We want it. We want what's behind the scenes, because if there isn't anything behind the scenes, then this stuff is happening for real and it scares the crap out of us. So of course we want to have the Matrix and all that other stuff. We want to feel like Daddy's in control, like there's some big daddy out there pulling all the strings. Well, I got news for you, Jack. It ain't like that.
I still say that guy.
Don't say it or I'll belt you.
Head transplant, please. Ow, 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 ow.
We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. There's a lot to get to. Victoria Jackson has lost her mind. She went on some homophobic rant. Now, if you don't like gay people, and there's a lot of people that don't like gay people, and you know, that's gonna be that's America. Everybody got an opinion. Victoria Jackson wouldn't exactly be the number one person on the list of people that I would think of. She was a former Saturday Night Live comic, although she does play the ukulele, which is weird. But anyway, she slammed Glee in a homophobic rant, so we'll listen to that. She thinks the show tries to turn kids gay. I don't know what her trip is, man. She could be joking, too, for all I know.
You think everybody's joking?
I don't know. I mean, Poe's Law, man. Remember Poe's Law?
Yeah.
Poe's Law is, when it comes to fundamentalist Christians, it's impossible to make fun of them because some of them come off like it's a joke. Like the Phelps, like the whatever the hell they're called, the Westboro Baptist Church. All right, but first this on Libya. Let me tell you something about Libya, okay? Just if I may say this. The United States originally was a part of an Arab League endorsed, which I thought was almost a miracle that the Arab League said yes to an aggressive act against a fellow member. But nonetheless, they did. They said yes. They gave their approval, whatever the hell you want to call it, which is a very rare thing. But nonetheless, they gave their approval to a NATO and UN no-fly zone imposed over Libya, of which the United States would be a coalition partner. Now, how the hell we ever got from no-fly zone to lobbing missiles in there, I don't know. Maybe there's a reason that I'm missing, and that's fine. That's fine, because if we're going to lob missiles, I don't agree with the people who say, do you know how much those missiles go? Like Michael Moore, who is really, that guy is as stupid a human being as God has ever allowed to make $1 million on a fake documentary. Honest to God. I mean, I do not begrudge the man his success, but please, please don't tell me he's some kind of thinker. That guy's philosophy, his take, his analysis, his view of everything in the world is so far up his own, you know, sphincter. That guy's got no view of anything other his, you know, other than his own insides. But this jackass was saying things like, "Those, you know how much those Tomahawk missiles cost? $600,000 each. Do you know how many teachers we could get for that?" Listen, you stupid fat clown. Number one, are you saying that we should not even invest in a defensive posture? If that's what you're saying, I got nothing more to say to you. But let's say that he's not saying that. Let's say that he's in favor of buying armaments and defensive weapons, etc., which I, of course, am completely in favor of. Well, if you got them, use them! If you've got, look at it, if we've got a Navy, and we got one hell of a Navy, we got submarines, and we got a whole lot of those, and we have all kinds of surface-to-air stuff, all kinds of ordnance we can lob in there. We've been spending the money for it. We've been testing the systems out, and maybe some of them need testing. I can't think of a better place than Libya. The hell's wrong with that? These missiles, as you probably know, many of these defensive systems, as they call them now, are more and more tuned with one thing in mind. And that is the elimination of collateral damage. More and more and more, the guidance systems, the computers, gimbals and whatever else it is in the actual nose, the armed nose of those things, that makes them fly true and straight, more and more, we're designing these things to minimize collateral damage, that is, injury to civilians. This is a primary area of research and development for the military when it comes to these kinds of weapons, offensive or defensive. So, you know, might as well test these babies out. You know, lob a few of those in there, the Tomahawk, I don't know. But here's the thing that everybody agrees on. Everyone is agreeing on this, including me. Whatever the hell it is we're doing, would somebody please explain it? That's all I want. President Obama says the goal is to get Gaddafi out of there. I didn't know that. I thought the goal was for us to simply assist in a tactical maneuver, which is to keep the Libyan Air Force on the ground. No fly zone. We did it in Iraq with great success following the Gulf War. after we failed to help the uprising, failed to help the Shias who are uprising in Iraq, as we failed to take any steps at all because, gee, that's interesting. It was George Bush who did not invade Iraq. He didn't go for the oil. He didn't go to Baghdad. I guess that kind of throws everything up in the air about what an aggressive warmonger he was. But then again, why let the facts get in the way? Yeah, sure, I know. It's the euro, it's not the dollar. That's why we didn't go take the oil then, and that's why people have done more twists and turns to try to justify how they think that the whole Bush cabal had something in for Saddam Hussein when George Bush Sr. could have gone in there and kicked his ass, and the whole world would have applauded him for it. Anyway, so whatever it is we're doing, how about somebody telling me?
Well, I thought it was going to get Gaddafi out of there.
No, it ain't to get Gaddafi out of there. I mean, that's what the people of Libya or the rebels want to have happen. But what the UN and NATO and the Arab League want is a no-fly zone. At least make this game, as far as I can tell, they want to make the game a little more even. Is that what it is?
Yeah, if they don't have no Air Force, then it's more even.
I mean, it sounds like an asinine way to fight a, I don't know, but, you know, keep the planes out of the, because as we learned from World War II and have learned in every war since, air power is power. Air power is the power. You got air power, you've won the war. You dominate the skies, you win the war. So keep Gaddafi's jets out of the sky. Well, we didn't just do that. Now I'm hearing all this horse dung, and this is the stuff that you worry about. All right, if we've kept, now what are you doing? We're not flying the no-fly zone? Yeah, well, it's a no-fly zone too. Okay, and then what else? Well, we're also attacking their Air Force too. Oh, attacking them. Are you attacking the planes? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Have you blown them all up, or what's going on? Oh, yeah, it's eroded. It's significantly eroded. Well, that doesn't mean anything to me, significantly eroded. And then we have people saying that we're not doing enough. Well, look it. Nobody signed up for a war in Libya, man, any more than we signed up for a war in Egypt, any more than we signed up for a war in any of these other places. And don't give me this line of horse dung about how,
well, we attacked Iraq.
Damn right we attacked Iraq. Damn right. Good thing, too. Glad we did. As far as I'm concerned, that's what got the ball rolling in the Middle East. Don't give me this horse dung about Tunisia or any of these other places. It was Iraq, and then it was Iran. And let me say this. If the seeds weren't planted then, man, I don't know when they were planted. Don't give me this stuff about how those events are independent. Nobody on the liberal side of the ball would dare debate that. As a matter of fact, they would go to their deaths screaming and crying and spitting to deny what I just said, because to accept any part of that is to basically undermine 8 years of self-delusion on the part of liberals. 8 years! They've been telling themselves the war in Iraq was unnecessary, was a bad move, was a mistake, was a lie, was a war crime. 8, 9 years they've been telling themselves the war in Iraq was the biggest blunder, George Bush the worst president. The Arab people are not used to westernized democracy. The Arab people are tribal people. How dare we try to impose this, that, this, that, this, that. Then the next thing you see, we got the Iranians with the green wave. And then comes Tunisia. Then comes Algeria. Then comes Egypt. Then comes Libya. And guess what else? Over the weekend, Syria.
Are you kidding me, man? I saw that too.
Oh, yeah. And if you think that Gaddafi is ruthless, wait till you see these Syrian bastards go to work on their own people. Those guys are Nazis. Nazis. I mean, I'm telling you, I am not even exact. Nazis, baby. Nazi.
To use the French pronunciation.
Exactly. Using the French pronunciation, a Nazi. Those guys are scum-sucking SS, Gestapo, Nazi bastards in Syria. They'll put up, they'll stick bamboo under your fingernails. God knows what they'll do. And the people that were protesting in Syria over the weekend, what did I read? They opened fire on them. That's what they do down there. They just see a crowd of people, they open up, and they start shooting at them.
Yeah, but what about Kent State?
Oh, well, Kent State was a horrific blunder admitted to by the National Guard. It was not an example of a business as usual by our military or by our National Guard or police. Kent State. I had to smack you just for the art of it, man, for saying that.
Yeah, but that you...
Oh, shut up, man.
Yeah, shut up. I mean, shut up. All right, so there you go, man. I just wanted to say that, and I will again say to you that the whole trip there in Libya, I agree with Jason Rantz. You know, I was talking to my producer He says, well, what the hell are we doing? I said, I don't know what we're doing. But he and I disagree. And what I said to him, well, I think that, you know, it should have been the no-fly zone. And if they're going to lob missiles, okay, fine. I mean, like I said, we've spent enough money on these missile systems. We've spent enough money on a lot of this hardware that we've got on our submarines and on our ships at sea. I said, what the hell? Well, you might as well test them out.
That's really cruel, man. You could kill an old lady or something.
Did I just get done telling you that a lot of this stuff is too, you know, the collateral damage is the one thing that we want to avoid. And you can do that easily. You just pick a target. But if the Arab League says cool it, then I say we cool it. And that's what I think I heard them say. They said, wait a second, we want a no-fly zone. I think we got to take their cue on this thing, man, because things are moving in a very nice direction there in the Middle East, and we don't want to run afoul of this stuff. If the Arab League says, okay, America, back the hell off, we said no-fly zone, fine. We're not going to go down there and say, well, we're calling the shots now. No, 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 no. Victoria Jackson slams Glee in a homophobic rant. Claims show tries to turn kids gay. Victoria Jackson, she of that childlike sort of, you know, that cutesy poo blonde act that she did there on Saturday Night Live. The former Saturday Night Live star and now Tea Party activist made an appearance on Headline News Showbiz Tonight on Monday to address the furor she caused with the homophobic comments about the Fox High School choir dramedy Glee. In her newest column for WorldNet Daily, oh, man, I remember they said, well, WorldNet Daily is fine, man, but I do not want them as a news source on the show because there's some people around here thought that they were an actual legitimate news source. Not. They're basically a blog. Last week, Glee featured a kiss between two openly gay characters, Kurt and Blaine, and it sickened Victoria Jackson.
Why did you pick me to sing that song with?
Kurt, there is a moment when you say to yourself, oh, there you are. I've been looking for you forever. Barf. Watching you do Blackbird this week, that was a moment for me.
Bad boy.
About you. You move me, Kurt. And this duet would just be an excuse to spend more time with you.
The rest of my life with you. And then he said,
can you dig it?
All right, so anyway, here on Showbiz Tonight with Brooke Anderson, Saturday Night Live alum Victoria Jackson is asked how she responds to people calling her a homophobe.
Well,
thank you. The next thing, no, here it is.
Well, it doesn't matter what I think.
Uh-huh.
What matters is what the Bible says. And I'm really concerned about our country because immorality is, well, secular humanism rules the airwaves, and it's stealing the innocence away from this whole generation of children. My daughter's a teenager, and I can't find any show that she can watch.
You don't believe you're homophobic. You just believe
That's a cute little buzzword of the liberal agenda. Basically, the Bible says homosexuality is a sin.
Also, now, Jason Rantz, this is a very interesting point. Dr. Drew said, listen to this, says women with, quote, little girl voices, and I think we've all in our lives met one or two or perhaps more. Dr. Drew says women with little girl voices were abused by a male figure when they were growing up.
What?
You want me to read it again? Dr. Drew says that women with little girl voices were abused by a male figure when they were growing up. Those little kind of little girl voices.
Yeah.
Do you know anybody like that?
I don't know, man. I'm trying to think back. Maybe.
I do. That's a very interesting thing. So, I don't know, Victoria?
Can you dig it?
All right, so then Jackson is able to respond to the point that shows like Glee with openly gay characters inspire gay teens in real life. Jackson argues the show is actually trying to make kids, turn them into gay kids.
No, it's not helping. They should have a celibacy campaign and tell kids that 50% of teenagers now have this new STD from oral sex. That's what they should be, you know, doing instead of trying to make kids gay.
All right. Jackson then goes off on a Muslim tangent.
Now, listen, I just want to know why the liberals are pro-Muslim and pro-gay, Muslims kill gays. That's what's confusing to me. And the only thing I can come up with is that the Muslims hate God and the gays hate his word.
Right on. Now, Victoria, far be it from me to say anything other than the following.
Can you dig it?
No, actually, I don't know. That's, you know, you're entitled to your opinion. I may agree in some areas. I think that extreme fundamentalist religionists of any creed can be anti-God, especially those jackasses. The rest of your screed, I don't know. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876 is our number, or 877-876-PHIL is our number, I should say. And our website, philhenryshow.com, where you can look at live streaming video of our show right now. In fact, I just had it on some, I don't, what was I looking at there?
Got on CNN.
CNN. There ain't nothing going on except for that Libya air attack thing. Rebecca Black may be the victim of vicious cyber attacks, but she's laughing all the way to the bank. We'll tell you how much the so-called worst song ever is likely to earn here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Don't forget to hit up our website, the philhenryshow.com, for your backstage pass. What do you get with your BSP? Well, I'll tell you this much. You get more on our website than any other radio website in the world. You get thousands of hours of archived material. You get live streaming video of our show. You also get live video programming, like, for instance, our afternoon show called Henry Emotionally Fragile, which debuted today. Which is just sort of me ranting about stuff, kind of like Victoria Jackson, only with less money. And anyway, all right, 877, so go over there and get a backstage pass. Do it! 877-876-PHIL. All right, so we got here Rebecca Black. Is she still in the news? Of course she is. The kid is, she's gold, man. I've been very, very shocked and amazed at the response to Rebecca Black, because I don't hear anything here with this kid, other than a kid who did a kid song, and other kids like it, and other kids hate it, and whatever, you know. One of the things with the YouTube age, the Twitter age, the Facebook age, the I must tell everybody my comments and my feelings every 2 seconds age, the navel-gazing age, as I call it. I'm getting up and walking to the refrigerator. That's a tweet. Next tweet. Oh, look, yogurt. Next tweet. Time to go to sleep. Good night, everybody. Next tweet. Is it just me, or is Martha Stewart hot? I mean, just on and on and on and meaningless gar. Let's tell people what we think and feel every 2 seconds, no matter how dull, no matter how coma-inducing it is. And so naturally, in a day and age like that, you got to tell everybody what you think of some 13-year-old girl who came out with a song, whatever the hell, but because you're a grown adult, we got to make a big deal out of it. If this were, you know, 20 years ago, we wouldn't even know. We'd say, oh, the kids, they got this song, they listen to, what's it called? Oh, it's called Friday. Oh, really? It's kind of goofy. Okay, great. As I've said often over the last few days, does anybody remember the Macarena? Yes. How grown up was that? And there were adults dancing to that crap. And crap is an understatement. A song by the California Teen that has been panned by music critics. Why don't you go review something else, man? I ain't even going to have time to play this. Here it is. Well, guess what? It's made 35 million YouTube hits. The kid could make $1 million plus. Wednesday is the third day of the week. So that's an adult that came up with a parody. Like, how do you parody a song that you think is already a parody? How do you make fun of a song that you already think is funny? How do you, you know what I mean? Phil Henry Show is produced by Jason Rantz, very ably technically directed by Rick Johnson, our very fine associate producer, the best of the business, Dan Northcraft. This is Phil Henry saying, nah, never mind.
Phil Henry.